Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. Over the last 30 years, women have made great progress in science and engineering. The number and proportion of women obtaining science and engineering degrees have increased dramatically. In the life sciences, women now outnumber men in both undergraduate and graduate programs. They earn one-third of the PhDs granted by the 50 leading departments in chemistry, mathematics, and statistics, and one-fourth in physics and astronomy. In the top 50 engineering departments, women earn one-sixth of degrees and one-fourth of the PhDs in chemical engineering. But what happens after women earn their science and engineering degrees is another story. Women constitute about half of the total workforce in the United States, but make up only one-fifth of the nation's scientific and technical workers. Women are also a small portion of the science and engineering faculty members at research universities, and they typically receive fewer resources and less support than their male colleagues. The representation of women in leadership positions in academic institutions, scientific and professional societies, and honorary organizations is low relative to the number of women qualified to hold these positions. It's not lack of talent, but unintentional biases and outdated institutional structures that are hindering the advancement of women. For women to participate to their full potential across all science and engineering fields, they must be part of a career path that allows them to reach their full intellectual potential. Much remains to be done to achieve that goal. The new report from the National Academies, Beyond Bias and Barriers, provides a synthesis of existing research to examine the implicit and explicit obstacles to educational and academic career advancement of women scientists and engineers, and the effects of race and sex in academic science and engineering careers. So, what are the barriers to success? Representation of women in science and engineering drops substantially with each step up the academic ladder, from high school on through to full professorships. As they move from high school to college, more women than men who've expressed an interest in science or engineering decide to major in something else. In the transition to graduate school, more women than men with science and engineering degrees opt into other fields of study. And there are proportionately fewer women than men in the applicant pool for tenure-track positions. In examining the transition into academic positions, the declines are greatest in fields requiring a period of postdoctoral study, such as the life sciences, chemistry, and mathematics. The situation is even worse for minority group women in science and engineering. Subject to dual discrimination, they're virtually absent from the nation's leading science and engineering departments. Doctorates in this group are less likely to be in tenure positions than men of any racial group or white women. There is no question that women have the ability and the drive to succeed in science and engineering. Studies of brain structure and function, hormonal modulation of performance, human cognitive development, and human evolution have not found any significant biological differences between men and women in performing science and mathematics that can account for the lower representation of women in academic faculty and scientific leadership positions. Scientists and engineers who are women or members of racial or ethnic minority groups must function in environments that favor the men who have traditionally dominated the fields. Well-qualified and highly productive women scientists have had to contend with questioning of their abilities in science and mathematics and their commitment to an academic career. As a result, women have not received the opportunities and the encouragement provided to their male counterparts to develop their interests and abilities to the fullest. Ample evidence exists to refute commonly held beliefs about women in science and engineering. The National Research Council examined a number of these beliefs and reviewed the available evidence. Some suggest, for example, that women are simply not as good in mathematics as men. But female performance in high school mathematics now matches that of the males. Some believe that the matter of underrepresentation on faculties is only a matter of time, that it's a function of how many women are qualified to enter these positions. But women's representation decreases with each step up the tenure track and academic leadership hierarchy, even in fields that have had a large proportion of women doctorates for 30 years. Some have suggested that women are not as competitive as men, that women simply don't want jobs in academia. But similar proportions of men and women science and engineering doctorates plan to enter postdoctoral study or academic employment. Perhaps behavioral research is qualitative. Why pay attention to the data in this report? But the data are from multiple sources, were obtained using well-recognized techniques, and have been replicated in several settings. It's commonly believed that women and minorities are recipients of favoritism through affirmative action programs. It should be noted, though, that affirmative action is meant to broaden searches to include more women and minority group members, but not to select candidates on the basis of sex or race, which is illegal. There are those that say that women faculty are less productive than men. But the publication productivity of women science and engineering faculty has increased over the last 30 years and is now comparable to men's. The critical factor affecting publication productivity is access to institutional resources. Marriage, children, and elder care responsibilities have minimal effects. Perhaps women are more interested in family than in careers. But many women scientists and engineers persist in their pursuit of academic careers despite severe conflicts between their roles as parents and as scientists and engineers. It's been said that women take more time off due to childbearing, so they're a bad investment. On average, though, women take more time off during their early careers to meet their caregiving responsibilities, which fall disproportionately to women. But by middle age, a man is likely to take more sick leave than a woman. And finally, there are some that say that the system as currently configured has worked well in producing great science, so why change it? But the global competitive balance has changed in ways that undermine America's traditional science and engineering advantages. Career impediments based on gender or racial or ethnic bias deprive the nation of talented and accomplished researchers. So what are the sources of the problem? The barriers that women face in science and engineering careers are due to implicit biases, certain organizational structures and rules, and employee evaluation criteria that contain arbitrary and subjective components. Decades of cognitive psychology research reveals that most men and women are unknowingly prejudiced. This plays a large role in evaluating others and their work. On average, people are less likely to hire a woman than a man with identical qualifications. They're less likely to give credit to a woman than to a man for identical accomplishments. And when information is scarce, they'll far more often give the benefit of the doubt to a man than to a woman. Even in science and engineering, measures of success are often applied in a biased manner. Characteristics that are believed to relate to scientific creativity, assertiveness, and single-mindedness, for example, are given greater weight than other characteristics such as flexibility, diplomacy, curiosity, motivation, and dedication, which may in the end be more vital to success in science and engineering. At the same time, assertiveness and single-mindedness are socially unacceptable traits for women. In addition, academic organizational structures and rules contribute significantly to the underuse of women in science and engineering. Rules that appear quite neutral may function in a way that leads to different treatment or produces different outcomes for men and women. For example, it's often assumed that faculty members have substantial spousal support at home to ensure their success in their fields. The majority of faculty, however, no longer have such support. About 90% of the spouses of women science and engineering faculty are employed full-time. Close to half the spouses of male faculty also work full-time. Career barriers for women deprive the nation of an important source of talent and accomplished scientists and engineers who could contribute to the nation's competitiveness. Transforming institutional structures and procedures to eliminate gender bias is a major national task that will require strong leadership and continuous attention, evaluation, and accountability. The National Research Council's recommendations are large-scale and interdependent, requiring the interaction of university leaders and faculties, scientific and professional societies, funding agencies, federal agencies, and the Congress. If implemented and coordinated across educational, professional, and government sectors, the recommendations will transform institutions, improve the working environment for women and men, and profoundly enhance the nation's talent pool. Chief among the recommendations issued by the National Research Council are the following. Trustees, university presidents, and provosts should provide clear leadership in changing the culture and structure of their institutions to recruit, retain, and promote women, including minority women, into faculty and leadership positions. Deans and department chairs and their tenured faculty should take responsibility for creating a productive environment and immediately implement programs and strategies shown to be successful in minimizing the effect of biases in recruiting, hiring, promotion, and tenure. University leaders should work with their faculties and department chairs to examine evaluation practices to focus on the quality of contributions and their impact. Professional societies and higher education organizations have a responsibility to play a leading role in promoting equal treatment of women and men and to demonstrate a commitment to it in their practices. Federal funding agencies and foundations should ensure that all their practices, including rules and regulations, support the full participation of women and don't reinforce a culture that fundamentally discriminates against women. Federal agencies should lay out clear guidelines, leverage their resources, and rigorously enforce existing laws to increase the science and engineering talent developed in this country. And Congress should take steps necessary to encourage adequate enforcement of anti-discrimination laws, including regular oversight hearings to investigate the enforcement activities of the Department of Education, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the Department of Labor, and science-granting agencies, including National Institutes of Health, National Science Foundation, Department of Defense, Department of Agriculture, the Department of Energy, National Institute of Standards and Technology, and the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. The Committee on Maximizing the Potential of Women in Academic Science and Engineering was chaired by Donna E. Shalala from the University of Miami. For more information on this National Academy's report, Beyond Bias and Barriers, Fulfilling the Potential of Women in Academic Science and Engineering, you may contact the Committee on Science, Engineering, and Public Policy. Their phone number is 202-334-1667. You may also read the full text of this report online at nap.edu. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.